you take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to the book of Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, in a moment, I'm going to be looking at verses 8 through 11. My message is entitled, I'm going to be short tonight, but it's entitled Dangerous Living. Let me hear you say Dangerous Living. And this is a new series that I'm going to start with you guys on Sunday nights. But in specific, my message has to deal with a radical view of God. A radical view of God. The Word of God says in verse 8 of Isaiah 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Now, interestingly enough, and I really want you to get this thought in your spirit, what many of us would call a radical view of God is nothing more than a very practical, a very scriptural, and a very biblical view of what God says he is and who he says he is. Now, when I talk about the term radical, I'm not talking about, you know, Westboro movement and blowing things up. That's sin. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is something entirely, completely different. You see, the problem is this, and this is what I've realized about a lot of Christians today, is that what you believe about God is what you would define as radical. What you believe about God is what you would define as radical. To define something as radical would mean that it borders beyond the scope of your comfort. It borders beyond the scope of your perception. It borders beyond the scope of your understanding of things, and in many cases, even your doctrine. It will shake you up. In other words, doctrine is simply what you believe that God can do. For something to be radical, it means that it's extreme. But then one has to really ask themselves this question. And it's a real big question that we've got to ask ourselves. What really is extreme with God? When we think about God, what is extreme? What is extreme with his power? Church, God can do some amazing things. Is healing a cancer really that radical? Think about that. Is shrinking tumors and leaving the perforations of where the tumor was, but the tumor be gone, really that radical? Is God moving in the exact opposite direction of which you wanted him to move, really that radical? And if you think that those things are radical, have you read your Bible? Tonight, I just want to briefly go over four dilemmas. Four dilemmas that keep us from being a dangerous people. Four dilemmas that we face that keep us from being a dangerous people. You see, when I say dangerous, I mean a supernatural people. I mean a prophetic people. I mean a radical people. And the first dilemma is this, and I really want you to get this word in your spirit. We have lost our awe of God. We've lost our awe and wonder for God. You know, that childlike faith that really believes that God can do it, that expectancy. And perhaps tonight we consider some of the examples that I shared very radical because we've lost our wonder of God. And church, let me testify tonight that I have seen God do some wonderful things. You see, where there is no wonder or where there is no awe, where there is no wonder, there can be no wonderful. I'm going to play with words tonight. Wonderful is just nothing more than a spin on it. It means to be full of wonder. We can't be full of wonder if we have no wonder for his wonders. He's a God of wonders. He's a God of power. You see, church, when you lose your wonder or when you lose your awe is another word of reverence. When we lose this, when we lose this feeling to inspire, we lose our hunger. And when we lose our hunger, there is no filling. There is no fulfillment inside of our lives. Whatever happened to the childlike faith? Whatever happened to the spirit of expectancy? You see, there's some of us that we've lost our inspiration of God. We wake up in the morning and it's just another day. But when was the last time you woke up in the morning? And you said, "Jesus, you can heal the sick today. Jesus, that co-worker of mine, you can deliver them today. When was the last time you had a true hunger of God? Have you been feeling empty inside? And if so, have you lost that passion for God? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I want you to get this in your heart, is that movement is always preceded by passion. Okay, movement is always preceded by passion. I'm going to bring another word to you, another message, another time. But before you can have an outpouring, there has to be an outcry. You see, there's a lot of people that they want the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but there is no outcry. When was the last time we had an outcry? You see, a passion for God will always lead to an interaction with God. And when you have an interaction with God, I want you to get this word in your heart. There will be a transaction. Let me hear you say transaction. Interaction will lead to transaction. The Holy Spirit has just been birthing that word in my heart. You see, some questions that I really want to ask you tonight, because the purpose of this message is to really challenge not only your intellect, but your faith and your fervor for Jesus. Have we grown comfortable with God? Have we grown comfortable with what we know about God? Or are we bound to what we think we know? Or what we believe that what we believe he can do. The Bible says that his thoughts are not our thoughts. That his word shall not return to him void. Yet there's so many in the body of Christ today that are garmented with voids all over their life, as though they are not a prophetic people. You see, church, I want to see the dead rise. I want to see the sick healed. I want to see the bound delivered, because he is a wonderful God. He is a wonderful God. God can do some crazy things. In the Bible that I have, God raises dead people. He turns back time. He walks on water. He stops the sun. He creates the world from the invisible. He uses various means to perform miraculous works. And if that does not provoke your intellect enough, some of the characters he uses. Some questionable people. Some people that we would never use. Rahab was a prostitute. David was a murderer and adulterer. Paul was a murderer. Peter was a racist. Hello? He had bigotry problems. Balaam was a false prophet. And then there's his donkey. God can use some crazy things, some wild things. But what do you know about God? Have you lost your awe? Even when you come into this place of worship, did you lose that expectancy that says, man, somebody can get healed today? Somebody can get delivered today. Somebody can get set free today. Today. Dilemma number two. Do our views and traditions get in the way? This is dilemma number two. In other words, what we say God can do, or who we believe that God can use. You know, this part blows me away. Now I want you to stick with me. If you had asked me 10 years ago, 10 years ago when I was younger in ministry, if holiness or godlikeness was a prerequisite for flowing in the gifts of the Spirit or miracles and power, I would have undoubtedly said yes. But let me tell you something. God has shown me that he don't need perfect people. Now, I'm not undermining a message of holiness. We need to be a holy people. What I'm about to say does not diminish the need to be a holy people. The word of God tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, for without holiness, no man will see the Lord. But I'm going to tell you what that passage does not say. It doesn't say he couldn't be used by the Lord. It says he couldn't see the Lord. But it didn't say he couldn't be used by the Lord. God can use some very peculiar people in our lives. You see, logically, we would assume this, that how can someone operate in the service of the Holy Spirit and don't possess the attributes that define him? But then there's a problem with that. There's this phenomenon called grace. Where we're in service to God, not because he needs you. Not because you did anything right. Not because you deserve to be used, but because he can get the glory from wherever he wants to get the glory. I want you to understand this, church, that God can use some very peculiar characters to get the glory and to do his bidding. You got to really understand this, church. In Luke chapter 19, verse 40, Jesus talks about that if no one else will cry out, I'll have stones cry out. Now, I've read commentary after commentary, theologian after theologian, and they'll say things like, you know, well, Jesus meant this out of conjecture, or he was being sarcastic. But then it brings me back to what I just read. That his word shall not return to him void. And if Jesus is the word and the word speaks, who says that it cannot happen? Perhaps, church, we're not really seeing the God of the Bible. Perhaps we are seeing a God of our education, a God of our intellect, a God of our reasonings, a God of our experiences, a God of our dogma, a God of our culture, a God of our traditions. Maybe that's the God that we're seeing. And no wonder why so many are not a dangerous people. They don't have a radical view. Even the very Sadducees that Jesus spoke this word to, Jesus had to confront them. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 29, Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection power. In other words, they didn't believe in the supernatural. And he tells them, you are mistaken not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Oh, yes. See, this is one of the things that I've realized about a lot of church-going folks is that maybe it's not that you put God in the box. Maybe you're in the box. Maybe you're in the box. Maybe you don't see. Maybe you don't see. You see, there's many that are coming up in the church today who have never seen a miracle. Who have never seen power. And like these Sadducees, they know the word, but they don't know the word. They don't know Jesus. They know things that he said, but they don't know the revelation of who he is because tradition gets in the way. They know logic. They know tradition. You see, tradition will say follow man's script, but God will say, guess what? Sometimes I want to go off grid. Yes, yes, yes. Sometimes I want to interrupt your day. Yes. God is still a God that's in the business of interrupting you, church. Yes. Is healing really that radical? No. Jesus can save a soul from eternal damnation. Now that's radical. Is prophecy really that radical? No. Dilemma number three. Get this word in your heart, church. We serve a God of our culture. Dilemma number three. One of the reasons why we don't see the power of God. One of the reasons why we're not a dangerous people. Is because we serve a God of our culture. Let me tell you what I mean by that. In this westernized world, if you believe in miracles, signs, and wonders, you're considered a radical at best, and in some circles, a heretic. In some circles, a heretic, because many people have adopted a God of their education, a God of their experiences, or the lack thereof. God didn't heal me yet, so therefore it must not be his will to heal. But church, truth trumps experience. Yes. One of my favorite men was William J. Seymour. And William J. Seymour, if you study him, he was one of the founders of the Azusa Street Revival. He preached the baptism of the Holy Spirit without having been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And folks were getting baptized and speaking in tongues, and he was still sitting there like, what about me, God? Truth trumps experience. Until one day he cried out to the Lord, and he cried out to God, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Church, let me tell you something. Despite what your experience is, we have the truth. You see, I go back to Isaiah chapter 55. You know, one of the biggest problems in understanding this revelation here, that we don't serve a God of our culture, is that we don't live in an aggregate society. We don't live in a society where we're dependent on, you know, farming and tilling. You know, we want food. We just go to the supermarket. You don't go to your backyard and have to, you know, work the farm. So what I realize is that today a lot of people will give lip services to passages like Isaiah 55. You know, verse 10 says something very unique. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth a bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. You see, we have our science. We have our psychology. We have our government. We have our income. We have our education. We have our explanations. We have our culture. We got so many answers. So many answers for so many things. You see, church, we've learned ourselves into a place where we love a shadow of God, but not the person of God. And it's very different. And we lean on things where deep down inside we really believe that these things can save us. But I got to provoke you again with some questions. What happens when you get a disease that the doctor says is incurable? What happens when science can't answer certain questions? What happens when government can't explain supernatural weather patterns and why this is happening and why that is happening? What happens when an income is taken away from your life? All of a sudden, he's a God of rain. All of a sudden, we get real aggregate real quick. Culture says, mind your business. God says, go and heal and set the captive free. Church, understand this. We are dead when we trust in a God of our culture over the culture of our God. I say that again. We are dead when we trust in the God of our culture over the culture of our God. The kingdom has a culture. And there is a very unique quality to kingdom people. They believe that God is, and that what God says can happen will happen. But when we serve a God of our culture, we serve a God of science. We have idols of all types of explanations and things. We have all types of idols and answers for why we think certain things happen. But again, church, what happens when you have no answers? Last dilemma, dilemma number four, and I told you I'd be short. Your God is too safe. One of the reasons why you're not dangerous is because you become too comfortable. Too comfortable. You see, when you live dangerously, church, you live from this volition deep down inside of you that whatever could happen can happen. That it really can happen. Somebody with a chopped off leg, it can grow back. Yes, it can. Somebody who dies, it can grow back. You see, church, I've been praying. I'm weird like this. I've been praying that God would uniquely just work through me in the resurrection of the dead. Amen. Okay? And sometimes I'll go to funerals, and I do this. I'm weird. I was telling my young adults about this not long ago. I'll go up to the casket, put my hand on it, and be like, Lord Jesus, let's make this happen. Lord, let's make this happen. Come on, Lord. And I'm waiting for the day. It's going to happen, church. I know that it's going to happen. I know that it's going to happen. You see, even now as I'm saying that, all types of thoughts are circulating. No, you see, because the way that balm is set up, you know, the blood was taken out. I'm not even going to talk about Lazarus, but. Now, what I'm saying doesn't diminish doctors. It doesn't diminish education. I'm not saying any of that. But when you live dangerously, church, when you live with this radical view of God, you live under the sovereignty of God. You live under the all-powerful nature of God. And you don't lose your wonder of God. You don't lose your reverence for God. You wake up every single day and say, God, today something crazy can happen. God, today you can do something amazing. God, today you can heal the sick. You can save the lost. Lord, you can set free the demoniac. You always have the final say. So, and God, you always, always will win. Yes, you're going to be embattled with seasons. Yes, you're going to go through moments of questioning. There will be times of silence where it feels as though nothing is happening inside of your life. But church, God's vision can be trusted with these eyes. I don't have time to share,
the many miracles that I have seen with these eyes. Church, we don't even have time to go over just the things that we've seen in the last 6 months God do in this church. Church, but I can tell you, like David said in Psalm 27 verse 13, that I would have lost heart unless I had believed that surely I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And church, there needs to awaken a new level of expectation inside of our heart that believes that the impossible can be made possible, because we serve a living God. We serve a powerful God. We serve an almighty God. We serve a God who is calling out a people that will live dangerously. Dangerously. In closing, church, I want you to get this in your heart. My prayer is that you would be dangerous. Dangerous. Yes, display the character of God. Yes, display the fruit of the God. But live dangerous. Take a risk. Ask somebody if I can pray for you. Take a risk. Stop reciprocating complaints and start praising God in the middle of where you are. Do something different. See, I'm not even proposing that we just be a sign chaser. That's not what I'm talking about. Because sign chasers do it for their own entertainment. Sign chasers chase movements as opposed to actually seeing that they are movements. You are a movement. Let me hear you say, I'm a movement. Church, God is radical enough. He is amazing enough, but are you radical enough to believe that the impossible can be made possible? I want you to hear these words again and let them sit in your spirit. So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent. I want you to bow your heads tonight. If you want to rise up to that place of being dangerous, I want you, just right where you are, just to stand to your feet and say, God, change my view of you. Change the way that I see you. Change the way that I think about you. Lord, take off every limitation and every doubt, every weight that I have allowed to blind my eyes from seeing. Lord, to deafen my ears from hearing. And Lord, let a childlike faith rise up inside of me. Just pray that over yourself, church. Heavenly Father, tonight, Lord. Lord, the word was short, but it was pertinent and it was needed, Lord, for this hour and for this moment, Lord God. Lord, I pray right now over new life. Lord, that we would be a dangerous people. Lord, that we would rise up in this hour to believe that we have a radical God. A God that is in the business of interrupting the day. A God who is in the business of healing the sick, saving the lost, setting free the bound. And that we are the vessel that God chooses to use. Lord, you're not looking for a perfect people. You're looking for a loyal people. And Lord, I pray, God, that even as this night, Lord, we have been posturing ourselves to believe that you are who you say you are. Lord, I pray tonight, Father, that a new level of faith would begin to rise up within us, Lord God. Lord, to seize the day, to seize the environments, Lord God, for your glory and for your power. I pray, God, that it would truly be said of us that we are a people that walk on earth as it is in heaven, oh God. Lord, I pray that every dilemma that was named tonight would be canceled and broken down in the name of Jesus. Lord, whatever we have allowed to bind the mind and the heart, Lord. Lord, that not just a new perspective would arise, but Lord, a new revelation. For where there is a revelation, Lord God, there will be a new level of momentum and movement inside of our life, Lord. Lord, for we as a kingdom people cannot move further than what has been revealed to us, oh God. Lord, so I pray tonight, Father, that as our eyes have been opened to him who has ears, let him hear what the voice of the Holy Spirit is saying to us, Lord God. Make us a dangerous people, oh Lord. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everyone. God bless you. Be dangerous.